To the best of our knowledge, there is no competing or corresponding news that will take place. Well, Mike Board from the Calgary Roughnecks, general manager of the Roughnecks, joins us here in the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Well, Bordy, how the hell are you?
I'm good. Didn't the Flames hire their assistants just a couple minutes ago?
Is that what they did? All right. Well, thanks, Mike. Yeah, no, it's crazy. We were talking about this because I don't know. I hope, well, we probably have turned over an audience, but I hope most people remember you were once on the dark side. Hell, you were a longtime Flames analyst. We spent many nights at Shanks, you and I.
Absolutely.
Talking about things. And yeah. Do you miss that? Do you miss being on this side?
I kind of like the other side a little bit better right now. Yeah.
Pat and I were talking about this, Will, too. But, you know, here we are today in the news. We're talking about the NBA Coach of the Year getting fired 2 days after he got that award. And the Vezina Trophy winner seems to be, you know, the problem in Nash. It's just like, what have you done for me lately? Right? Do you have to take that?
No.
Oh, you sure? Okay.
No. Trade deadline's gone.
Trade deadline's good? Okay. You're not breaking anything for us?
No.
Hey, it's crazy now.
It is. It is. The Raptors thing, I heard you guys talking about it, but I was kind of surprised when I heard that. But I guess we're not part of that organization, so
no.
We'll just sort of say, okay, they make some decisions.
You are part of an organization that's made it into the second round of the playoffs, but let's talk about the regular season. Mike, you were kind enough to join us at the beginning of the year. I know that at that time, I wouldn't say pumping the brakes, but you were suggesting that it may take a bit for you to get your feet underneath you. And safe to say, although not quite to the record maybe you wanted to end the season with, it seemed like the second half was better than the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were slow out of the gates. I mean, I think we were 1-5, and I think actually the turning point kind of came in sort of a game against Saskatchewan. Here we had played Georgia, and then Saskatchewan came in. So the two teams that were in the finals the year before, and we played really well against Georgia, lost, but Saskatchewan came in, and I think we forced it in overtime after a slow start. But I think those two games, even though they were losses, were kind of the turning point. And we were 1-5. And, I think what we were saying to our guys at that point is, okay, we think we've got it here. Play like that, you're going to win more than you're going to lose. And and in the second half, that's what happened.
One of maybe the story, and maybe you don't want me to tell this, but one of the jobs of a general manager at times during the season is just to maybe calm everything right down and kind of empower everybody and say, don't look at the record. Don't worry about what you think is going to happen. You guys are good as long as you take it from here. Is that happened this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
There was a moment in time where you kind of had to rally.
Yeah, because I think, I think the players are looking at a, 1-4, 1-5 record kind of thing, and they're thinking, geez, am I going to get traded? What's going on? Coaches are probably thinking the same thing, like, the macro, we're at 1-5. And so, in around that time, we had a meeting, and I said, look, it's like we got ourselves into this, and it's us that's going to get ourselves out of it. So basically saying, let's do this together, and let's move forward together, and we'll reassess everything at the end of a season. It was just a, it wasn't the right time to start shuffling the deck because the deck was, we kind of liked the deck. So, let's just keep moving it forward.
Kind of in concert with the conversation I alluded to in the sports world, how difficult is that nowadays to do that? How difficult is it to be a manager and show faith?
That's a good question, actually. I think in other situations, it might be even more difficult, but I think we had done some things in the off season, and we liked our draft, and we had some young bodies and, some up and coming kids, and we just needed to let it kind of gel. So I think it was easy to for me this time around anyways. It might be different next time, but I think it was easy to just say, this is the right path, and the right people are in the room, and let them be themselves and not be on those pins and needles and worrying about it, and have them believe, as much as they need to believe in themselves, they also need to believe that the organization was backing them. And I think that was an important thing for us to do. So it wasn't super difficult by any means. It was easy this time. I mean, who knows what happens down the road? Because I assume managers are going to have a situation where, you know what, I don't have enough faith. And, you know, then you start to make, you know, you start shuffling your deck and you have to make some changes.
If this was your first year as a general manager 5 years ago, would you have done the same thing, do you think?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. If this was a, you know, if things had not turned around, then would you second guess yourself the next time? Probably. Mm-hmm. You would think probably very differently on it.
Mike Board, general manager of the Calgary Roughnecks, our guest here in the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Pat?
The Saskatchewan team, is it more than just they're a really good team as to why they've kind of been a nemesis for you? Or is it just that, hey, they're one of the best teams and have been one of the best teams for the last half decade?
I think it's a bit of both. I think to play with them, it took, you know, it takes some time to get your team to a level that can play against. I mean, sometimes I think back to the 1980s when the Oilers had their dynasty going and the Flames were building that team to to knock off the Oilers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. It just takes some time to get there. You know, and I think you know, we've made some significant strides to lessen the gap, I suppose. But you know, it's a new bunch of, there's a lot of new faces in that room, so I don't know that, you know, there's a hangover from previous years saying, gosh, we can't beat these guys. I think there's a different attitude, and I think some of it shows in our game. And, you know, we've got a different dynamic with Christian DelBianco in net. I mean, he moves the ball very well and, you know, very quickly. So that kind of adds a bit of a dimension that we hadn't had in the past.
So do you build your team? Because there's been a lot of roster turnover the last number of years. Do you build your team with an eye to beating the Rush, because they have been the benchmark and they are in your division and you do play them three times a year? Do you build your team specifically to knock them off?
Yeah, I think so to a degree. You absolutely do. You say, you know, you look at you know, how you look at their transition game, for example. And, you know, last year we had 20 transition goals, I think, or even less, and they had like 40. So you're going, there's a big gap there. Mm-hmm. That's 20 goals over the course of a season, but, you know, you play in one goal games, those are going to matter. So you look and you say, you know what, we're going to have to be a running team too. So you kind of start building guys that can move the ball up the floor and run well. And you need to have size on defense against these guys. They're big, they're fast. You know, Mark Matthews is a tough check, might be one of the toughest checks in the league. So you got to have defenders who can handle him. So you sort of look at those pieces and say, this is the kind of guy that we, you know, we're probably going to need to get by the Rush. And I think there's a lot of teams in the league doing the same thing. They look at the Rush model and say, well, that's a team we got to beat to get to the championship or win a championship. So, you know, I think a lot of teams are doing the same thing.
Yeah, you played them pretty well. I mean, 2 one-goal games in the regular season. I know they had the one game where they kind of shut you down offensively, but otherwise, especially the last game you played going into the playoffs, that's a close game, and they just outlasted you. How close do you feel to getting over on those guys?
You know what? We're like I say, we've made some, I think we've made significant strides. You know, this is a big game against a team that'll be ready, and they'll be hungry because they lost in the championship last year, so they want to get back there. So there's not going to be any, you know, there's not going to be any love lost out there. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a battle, and, you know, we need to be at our best to beat the best, I guess is the best way to put it. And, you know, we're preparing the guys to have a real battle with them. And you know, at the same time, it's an experience thing for a lot of our guys. Like, you know, that's going to be a loud building again. It's going to be, there's all kinds of, you know, they're under the lights with 15,000 people in there, you know, thumping their chests and all those kind of things. So try and minimize some of those distractions and keep the guys focused. And I think they've done a really good job. I think there's been a good mixture of, you know, some of our younger guys having one more year experience against them and things like that. So I think we're getting, you know, I think we're a lot closer. And we'll find out Sunday just how close we are.
It's funny, you mentioned Matthews. I remember the first time I ever saw him was when the Minto Cup was here back at the 2012 Minto Cup in Okotoks, I think it was.
Yep.
And he was playing for Whitby. And like at that time, he was 6'5" and an absolute beast. And I believe he'd committed to Denver at that point. And you're like, holy, this guy's going to go number one overall in the NLL draft. You knew, but he has turned into the best player in the sport. And like, He combines that shot, and he can spread the floor, and he's got that size. Is there a player like him? Is he kind of a unique player into his own in this league right now?
You know what? I think he is kind of unique. Like, you can go down our roster and sort of say, you know, Westberg is kind of that kind of guy. But Mark Matthews right now is the best in the league at that. You know, we have Curtis Dixon, probably the most dynamic one-on-one player in the league. So they all have different traits. But I think what Mark Matthews has is like you say, he's got a well-rounded game. He shares the ball well. He shoots the ball well. He can, you know, he can score a number of different ways. And, you know, he's kind of that guy that you look for, like a floor general kind of, we call them. And there's not that many really good floor generals out there. Like Josh Sanderson played here for a bit. Yep. He was a great floor general.
Yeah.
Those kind of guys are you know, hard to find because it's, you know, they've got vision and they've got the talent. They're just, they're tough checks for sure.
Is there anything you can do to, I mean, they've got the number one and number two scorer in the NLL, but Matthews was ahead of the pack. Is there anything you can do to effectively not shut him down, but limit him?
Yeah, I think there are things that you can do. You know, you have to, again, it's our guys having to be at their best, you know, and you can't give them an opportunity to shoot or move the ball. You got to be tight on them. You know, the gaps have to be tight, and you know, you have to be aware that he can also beat you one on one. So you know, you're going to have the guy down below you or whoever it is, you know, slide across, help you out. Like you're going to have to do it to stop Mark Matthews and I guess you know the rest of the rush is you have to play as a five man unit, and you all have to communicate, and you all have to know, you know, what happens in every situation, you know. So it's a big ask, but, you know, I think our D and our goaltending was up to the task in the second half. So we just have to keep continuing mm-hmm. doing what we're doing.
So you've got this team in Saskatchewan who is going to get 15, 16,000 people in that building on Sunday night. Obviously, they're excited to play in front of their home crowd. How much can your group feed off of that crowd there, though?
You know what? I think we've had a couple of big crowds here, too. And the guys, honestly, playing in front of those kind of crowds, whether it's in your own building or in another building, the guys get pumped. Like, there's just no other way to put it. You know, you want to take their crowd out of the game if you can. But, you know, it's pretty rare that that happens. I mean, it's a Saskatchewan thing. They're very supportive. And you know, I think the guys like playing in front of the big crowds and under the big lights, and you just got to kind of control that emotion and stay focused, use it as a tool to bear down during the game.
You're surprised how it's caught on there so quickly? I mean, it was such a tough sell in Edmonton, and they immediately go to Saskatoon, and it is the biggest deal in town.
Yeah, I guess I could say I am a little bit surprised, but they, you know, the owner Bruce Irvin and his people made a presentation to, you know, our board of governors and said, here's what we think we can do. And, you know, the numbers looked really good. And yep. You're thinking, wow, I don't know, like how big is lacrosse in Saskatchewan and all those kind of things. And honestly, they probably surpassed the numbers that they presented to us as far as, you know, what they thought they could do when they relocated. So, you know, hats off to them. And I think it's a Saskatchewan thing. Like you look at the Rough Riders and the support that they get province wide. And I think, you know, the Rush have attracted, you know, they're telling me they have season ticket holders who drive 4 hours to a game kind of thing.
Wow.
Every time they play.
Sure.
It's phenomenal.
But so do the Riders.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's the way you go about your business.
And I just think they've done a great job, and they did a really good job of becoming part of the community in Saskatoon, I think. And I think that helped a lot.
Mike Board, General Manager of the Calgary Roughnecks, our guest in studio here in the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. His team takes on Saskatchewan. I was going to say Saskatoon, but it's Saskatchewan in Saskatoon. And we have it beginning at 4:30 on Sunday, mm-hmm. correct? Okay, I want to make sure I have that right. We were talking about this yesterday, and I want to bring it up with you. How do you prepare for this weekend in the sense of Monday you might be on the phone trying to make travel arrangements, or you might be planning exit meetings? What's your approach, Mike, to a weekend like this?
It's a duel.
Okay.
It's both. We plan, you know, as though the season might end on Sunday or it could continue.
You do, eh? Yeah. Like, you just...
You have to have certain things in place anyways, because...
You can't just say, screw it, we're going to win, and if I start thinking about not winning, then we'll blow it, sort of thing?
Yeah, no, you just quietly kind of plan for whatever options could come at you. So, it's like this every year, so we're kind of used to it, and there's certain things that, you know, we would, you know, plan in case we won. You know, in the case of a win, we're immediately jumping into travel kind of thing, right? That's the first thing you do. Mm-hmm. So, and if you lose, we don't do our exit interviews or things like that after the game. It's way too emotional. But, you know, if guys are going their separate ways, we have them visit with the doc just in case they got an injury or those kind of things. So a little bit of planning on the loss side, but more planning towards the winning side. It's always better feeling that way anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not my intention to poke the bear here, but I know schedule is what the schedule is. If you win and move on, you will play at home on the 26th.
Yes.
Which will be 6 weeks from the last time you played in this building.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a little odd, isn't it?
We've been road warriors for a while. So, yeah, I mean, it's just the way the building works. And, you know, we played our final two regular season games on the road, and then, you know, you go to down to Denver, and then we go. So you use up a month in a hurry.
Yeah.
But we'll be ready. I mean, that sort of planning probably, you know, I mean, Mike Moore and his group will jump on that on first thing on Monday morning sort of thing and say, okay, here we go.
Do you miss that?
No, and Mike does a great job, too.
Yeah, Mike's great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
He does a great job on it. Actually, you know what? I think it seriously helps focus on both sides. Because when I was doing both, you never knew if you were focused enough on one and ignoring another, or you're kind of worried. But having Mike, look after the business side and things like that is, I think it's been great.
That'll be some fun travel days if you're playing in Atlanta and you've got, you know, a good chunk of your team that lives in Vancouver. Not a lot of Vancouver to Atlanta. It's going to be some long flying days.
The nice thing about Atlanta, though, biggest airport.
Yes, you do. It's a huge hub.
It's a huge hub, but nobody flies direct from Vancouver.
I don't think we do get in direct at all. Some of them went through Chicago. Like, some go through Chicago or Minneapolis. I think the last time we went there, which was last season, a bunch of us went through Toronto and then zipped down to Atlanta.
If you do Rochester, would you go Toronto and drive?
We did that this year. Yeah. When we went into Rochester and Buffalo, but we didn't bother flying into those towns because it almost, you look at the travel time versus, you know, the actual flights. So like, if you're connecting through Chicago and it's going to take you 12 hours to get there and you're sitting in the Chicago airport for 4 hours waiting for a connection.
Well, best case scenario, right?
Yeah.
Because it's always the worst thing that can happen to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we talked to a couple other teams, and the Vancouver Stealth did the same thing the year before and found it way more effective. So we flew into Rochester and drove out to Oakville, had a little practice, run around, got some food for the bus, and off we went. And it was actually... Probably we were done practice and probably across the border before we were boarding a plane in Chicago kind of thing, right, to get into Rochester.
I still think I owe some tolls from my – I did that. When you guys did Rochester in 2014 for the Champions Cup, I flew to Toronto and then drove.
Rental?
A rental. And I still think I owe some tolls.
Those are the worst. Pat was saying about the building and how nuts – are you going to have many fans?
We'll have
travel?
Some. I think there will be some.
Yeah.
We didn't arrange any special trips or anything like that. It was just the turnaround was probably just too quick for us. So, to get everything booked and all that kind of, you would have had to kind of make some assumptions that you probably didn't want to make that you were going to go and we still had to beat Colorado and things. So, we haven't figured one out yet.
We should address this as well. You're playing Sunday because tomorrow Shania Twain is playing in Saskatoon.
Right.
Which would preclude you from practicing in that building. Will you get a practice in Saskatoon?
Yes, we do. The Rush have arranged for both teams to get practices at the soccer center in Saskatoon.
Okay.
So,
excellent.
Which is great. I mean, they've been off. They obviously would want to practice because they've been off for a couple weeks. I mean, they did practice last weekend, I think, in Saskatoon, but... You know, you always want to, for big games like this, even if it's a light practice that, say, goes an hour and 15 minutes without gear, you still want to have those kind of things that, you know, get the muscles flowing, get the blood flowing, run over some of your systems and prep.
It's important to clarify, too, that like the NLL has pretty strict rules on what you can and can't do for practices, right? Because,
oh, yeah.
Because
one a week.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
You can't – some teams – now, the Rock have got most of their guys, and Buffalo's got most of their guys all playing out east.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
easy for them easy to get to together. Do, yeah. And they, whereas teams like the Roughnecks or other teams, they're from all over the place, so yeah. it's kind of an unfair advantage. So you get the one practice a week, right?
Yeah, exactly. We call us I call us the island teams because
okay.
we're all separate, like Colorado,
Georgia,
although they've got a lot of eastern guys too. So
okay,
but the teams that don't have the guys, you know, Toronto, Rochester, Buffalo. If you look. Majority of those guys are all living in that area, so they actually practice once a week too, but they do it on a Tuesday instead of the night before. So advantage them, I suppose.
And San Diego next year, right?
San Diego and Philly.
Philly.
Back
okay,
in the league.
Back in Philly.
But San
Philly's
Diego
back.
Will be far more of an island team, I would imagine, than Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Be, right?
Yeah, like it's for the teams like, you know, and Saskatchewan's an island team too,
yep.
obviously. But
yeah.
you know, they have a bye last week, but they practice, so they, you know, that's a big cost for them to fly their guys in for a couple of hours of practice time, right? So it's a you know, when you have bye weeks, when you have bye weeks, it's if you're an island team, during the regular season, lots of times you don't practice.
Yep.
You just leave it alone, and
that's crazy.
We'll see in a couple of weeks. Yeah,
I guess that puts more emphasis on training camp, doesn't it?
It does.
Really
it does.
Yeah.
And the time that you get on game day, like there's usually a shoot around for an hour, about an hour. So the coaches.
Wasn't there a lot of video work, like email video work and
oh, yeah.
like a lot of stuff that gets sent around
yep.
coaching remotely?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll send out some video early. Then they'll review it again on the Saturday morning. And then we'll go out and have a shoot around and, you know, review the final things. Kind of like, you know, the Stamps go through a walkthrough day.
Yeah.
That's kind of what our shoot around is about really yeah. is like a walkthrough.
Yeah. Do you want to weigh in on the old Canadian lacrosse players issue?
Oh man, yeah. I'd yeah. like to stay away from that one.
Okay,
but
no
what I think is a shame is that it's at this point.
Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
These are, you know, I assume have you guys talked to Jeff Snyder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, he'd be a good guy to talk to. I'm pretty sure he would be extremely knowledgeable on what's
yeah,
going on in
is.
That. And I think it's – I'll say this. I was very surprised that those guys that are on those teams were not insured by the national sports body.
I think
that is actually
I think
a
it's shameful.
Very bad miss.
I think it's shameful,
yeah.
absolutely shameful.
I agree.
That happened, especially considering the injuries that transpired, right?
Right.
That really led to this dispute.
Yeah, like I talked to Mike Carnegie. He went to the indoors in Prague.
Yeah, it was. The indoors in, were in Prague.
Yeah, I think he went to Prague. Yeah. So I asked him when this all came up, and I said, so did you have insurance when you went to Prague? And he says, I don't think so. So,
oh.
like, now you're on foreign soil,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
something like, I just think it's... I mean, you look at the NHL, and they're all, you know, they're concerned about Olympics. And one of the big things is always insurance. It's you got to look after your athletes. And I got to sort of say the athletes are asking the right questions right now, and I think the Canadian Lacrosse Association is going to have to address it.
Always a pleasure. Looking forward to this weekend. Glad that we're sending our best guy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Patty on the road again.
Well. He's an early to bed and early to rise guy. I wouldn't worry
in
about
Saskatoon?
That.
In Saskatoon?
Yeah. Well, you know, don't want to get out of control in the Bridge City. Are you going to sleep this weekend? Are you a nervous guy? How does this work for you?
You know what? I'll probably wake up and the gerbils start running in the head about 2 a.m., fall back asleep around 4. There's always something going on, and you go through it and say, do we do this for prep? Did we get everything? Do we have everything looked after? Is everything buttoned down? But...
it's
I
good
think
thing.
We'll be fine. We've done this before.
Are you
so.
A nuisance for coaches?
Cause no, I don't think so.
There's been some general managers in this building that have been nuisance for coaches come playoff time because there's really not a lot to do. So they're kind of bored. So all of a sudden they come up with some great new ideas.
Yeah, but your coach doesn't cover very many bases. Like, he's not very thorough at all.
Yeah, I leave that to them, and you know, I'm here as a sounding board. Hey, what do you think about this or whatever? If they want to bounce something off, and then just support them any way I can to, you know, lessen their workload. But you know, I wait for them to ask first. I don't go. I usually just sort of lie low and say, okay, I like this game plan.
Pat, what's our plan for this weekend?
So 4:30 or so on Sunday night, we'll have your pregame show. Peter Klein will be in studio. He'll have that for you. We'll start the play-by-play just after 5 o'clock from the SaskTel Center. I'm actually pretty excited to be there. It should be a pretty fun game, and hopefully we can see three more after that. Two more would probably be preferable from a Roughneck standpoint.
Preferably.
Yeah. Hopefully we can see some more after that. That'd be fun.
Bordy, thanks as always, man. Best of luck this weekend in Saskatchewan.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Mike Bord, general manager of the Calgary Roughnecks.